Hello and welcome back to the All Time Gaming Podcast. My name's Steph and I'm joined by two players.
The players, Jamie and Chris.
How are you guys doing?
Hey, playalicious.
I'm all the better now that I've been called a player.
Yeah. Absolutely, we're all players.
This is the new kind of like mark of honor.
Yeah.
Is when Steph calls you a player.
You're upgraded to a friend of Steph to one of the players.
You know, it's like level 1 bandit, level 100 boss.
Yeah.
We're now level 100 players.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's the level 3 in my book.
Really?
First is just the boys.
I'm out with the boys.
Then it's friends.
Okay.
And then it's players.
Oh.
Wow. So it's level three the cap, though?
Yeah, what's above players?
I've no idea.
No one's ever reached past level 4.
No one's got that far yet.
We're in the atmosphere now. We're sky high.
The upper echelons, more
the ozone layer.
Oh, I like that.
You're as high as the ozone layer.
Okay, good to know.
Remember when, like, the hole in the ozone layer was a thing and everyone was freaking out? And
it still is a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but you never hear about it anymore. Same with acid rain. Whoever hears about acid rain anymore?
Never talk about it. Learned about it in science. What for? Never happened.
Well, the last thing I heard about global warming is the fact that some Arab prince was going to shave off like tons of ice from South Pole and drag it all the way to Saudi Arabia.
You know it's
going to
melt by the time it gets there.
Yeah, this is what people were putting in the Twitter comments.
Just put it in a freezer.
Did you know that Saudi Arabia is warm? It's going to melt before it gets there.
Did you know that Saudi Arabia is warm?
He lives there. He's got no idea. This is hot.
Wow. Maybe we should just talk about games.
Global warming.
I don't know. All I know is I saw that film, The Core, and that was pretty cool.
Ooh, The Core, yeah.
Was that global warming?
What was The Core? As in the Earth core heating
it was
up?
They had to go down to The Core.
It was
like
the opposite.
Sort it out or something.
Yeah, because the core of the Earth was failing. And they wanted to put nukes in it.
And they had to blow up the core to restart it. Kickstart it like a reaction.
So they had to drill down.
All the way. That must have been the boring film. Drilling into the earth.
It had Aaron Eckhart in it. How could it be boring?
Yeah,
Who's he?
He was Harvey Dent from The Dark Knight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And have you ever seen Thank You for Smoking?
No.
Oh, well, fine.
If Jonesy were here, he'd bring up the name of the film I always forget. He's got a film he loves with Aaron Eckhart. Something about assassins and it's all set in one house or something like that.
Panic what? Room.
You know what? Panic Room would be better with Aaron Eckhart.
Sack
of Jared Leto.
Anything would be better. Where's Aaron Eckhart these days? Maybe he's dead.
Counting his Batman money, probably.
Yeah. All right, anyway, games.
Games. Let's talk about games. The first thing, as we usually do on this podcast, is we talk about what games we've been playing from the past week. That was so close.
If you had spoiled, just for context for people listening, we've all got cans on the table. We're all adults here. We know how to handle cans on a table. Except for Steph. If that Coke can had spilt on my arm,
I would have slapped you. We wouldn't have stopped the podcast.
Okay, man, we're too far in now.
No way that intro is ever going to be changed.
I can't criticize Steph because while I'm okay with drinks, I spill food on me every single meal.
And it's almost always before we have to be filmed on camera or something. You're
guaranteed.
Like, oh, there's barbecue sauce on my top.
Like, I think we have to get our pictures taken today for something, in fact. So guaranteed at lunch, I'm going to get something right down the front.
No, we'll have pictures before lunch, aren't we?
There's no time.
There's got to be time. Well, I'm not here.
Depends on how long this podcast is.
Yeah.
I'm home after the Pizza Hut.
Wow. Okay. Breaking the fourth wall here.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, we're going to Pizza Hut for lunch. Deal with it.
Gamers go to Pizza Hut. Yeah.
Games we've been playing. Yeah.
What have you guys been playing over the last week? Chris, I'm interested to hear from you because this has been a couple of weeks since we've been on the podcast.
Yeah, it has been a couple of weeks. I've missed it, to be honest. I've missed sitting down with you guys. I'm glad to be here.
In this sweaty basement room.
Listen, I'd rather it's your sweat than some other people's sweat. So
it's definitely his sweat.
Yeah.
It might have been a bit of mine mixed in, to be fair.
I mean, that's how I like it. That's how I prefer it. That's how I want it.
Concoction.
Bit of man musk. During the podcast. Yeah, what have you been playing?
Like, previously, as you...
Previously, on Chris Jonidis.
Previously on the ATG Super Show podcast. When it comes to this time, I don't really have a lot to say, right? Because, you know, I've got a kid, you know, doing stuff for the channel. I just don't have a lot of time. But I've made a concerted effort, Steph, because I knew I was going to be on this podcast. I was like, you know what? I got to play some fucking games. This is getting ridiculous now. And I played some Sekiro. Mm. Not just some Sekiro, lots of Sekiro, and I'm loving every minute of it.
It's how far did you progress in,
dude,
that
probably like 2% of the whole thing. I don't know. It's hard to tell because, I mean, unless it is there, but I haven't found it, but there's no kind of like thing to say, oh, you've done X amount of the game. I looked online today at like how long to beat.
Yeah.
And it was something like, 22 to 70 hours, depending on if you like.
Depending 70 on how hours many times like, you died.
22 to 70, that's a hefty range.
I think there's a lot of extras. But
this,
no, so,
this boss will take you 72 times to do.
So we streamed this, all right?
We did.
And it was me, Jamie, and Jonesy on the stream. I was playing it, and I love these kinds of games. Like, I get frustrated and I fall off with games sometimes if they're too hard, but if they're too hard for the wrong reason. And I feel that Sekiro is hard for the right reasons. It's none of their mechanics that are unfair. You know, sure, some of the character placements within a level are unfair, but you learn that, like, you only die once from someone hidden behind a door, right? If that. And then you learn it. So it's not, that's not an unfair section. Like, I was talking to Martin Ruffell from All Time Conspiracies fame, because we're talking about Uncharted and how hard I fell off the first Uncharted game, because I just felt that, like, mechanically that game is a piece of shit. Like, fine, I know, I understand people like it, but it's just, it doesn't play right. Like, they didn't really think through mechanically what is fair and what isn't fair. If they were just like, oh, we got to make it hard, so hey, let's give these dudes some desert eagles, they'll kill you in one shot, and give them laser sights.
It was a different time.
Yeah, it was a different time.
But you could say that about any games. If you look at games today and games,
yeah, absolutely you can.
10 years ago, the mechanics now are so much nicer.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. So in terms of Sekiro, and this is from software to a large degree. I mean, some people may disagree with some of the unfairness of it, but I always get the sense with these games that their systems are entirely fair and the gameplay is hard, bordering on the unfair for certain people.
Yeah.
But what gets me is, like, I'll give you an example. 2 days ago, I was playing. So I've gotten to the section where you go into a flashback, where, like, the person, the little kid that you're meant to be, like, the heir of the fucking throne or whatever. You, like,
yes, the one who gets kidnapped.
Kidnapped, yeah. So you go into the flashback of when you got kidnapped and your master dies or whatever. It's not really a spoiler. It's early in the game. And I played that level for about 2.5 hours, I think. It was 1.5 to 2.5 hours. Dying time after time after time, getting very frustrated, letting out my little brah, but it was fine. Like, it's, I didn't get too angry with it because it was fair. It was like, if I was dying, it was because of me, because I was maybe being too cocky in terms of this or that or whatever, or maybe I didn't know a layout of this or that, but I've learned it. Okay. So then last night when I went to play it, I fucking rinsed that level in 15 minutes because I knew where everything was. It was still challenging, don't get me wrong. It's not like, oh, you're memorizing this fucking walk in the park, but you kind of get into a flow in that game, and I'm really enjoying it.
Plus, you're always going to be constantly improving at least a little bit, right?
Yeah. Like, so it's got this thing where you can resurrect if you die, right?
Yes.
And but the more you die, the more people in the world get sick, and eventually you have to find a cure for them or something like that. That's further down the line. But you've got this little meter that resets that you can resurrect if you die once, and you comes back at like half health, whatever it is, so you can just carry on fighting. But yeah, I mean, it's fair. It's fair. It's good.
Good.
I like it. You guys haven't played Sekiro?
Not since we streamed it, no.
Yeah. I have, but I didn't like it. Oh, I got to the first goblin boss thing that was tied up against it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the thing we reached on the stream and got stuck on for hours.
Yeah, I killed that.
Okay,
and then moved on a little bit further, and there was a big chunky guy with like a spear.
Yeah.
Couldn't kill him, so turned it off. Yeah. I've installed
it. So the first time, really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Steph has very little patience for these things.
But you know what, if Steph had asked me, do you think this is a game for me, I probably would have said no.
Yeah but also I'd have said that
it's not judging your skill or anything, I just don't think it's your type of game.
No,
I mean, if that's the way you react, like you quit and uninstall the first time you hit a block in the road, then maybe it isn't your type of game.
Yeah. No, I gave it a chance. I had a few runs at and just kept dying. And then you end up at a save point miles down the road. And then you have to run.
But see, so what I've done is before you get to that boss who's chained up by that thing, you get this bell from this old lady that if you take to the Buddhist temple, it triggers this flashback, which I think is technically kind of optional. You don't necessarily have to do it, But by doing it, you get two new things for your shinobi prosthetic arm.
Yeah.
One of them is a flamethrower that apparently, like, fucking chews through that dude's health bar like no business. So by doing that, I've made the game easier for myself, even though I've prolonged, you know, like, I've made the game longer for myself by going to this flashback, but I've probably made the rest of my time from this point onwards a lot easier.
Yeah. Looks like I need to go and find the flamethrower.
Hell yeah. Jamie, well, you're not going to go back to it. I can tell you.
No,
it's fine. Jamie, do you have any
I'll interest? Be honest. I have a little bit of interest. I always do with all these FromSoft games, but I'd be kidding myself if I told that, if I'd said that I was actually going to get into any of them.
Yeah.
Because I've tried with every Dark Souls, I've tried with Bloodborne, and I always bounce off at some point.
Yeah.
Because I just don't, I kind of like Steph, I guess. I don't have the patience.
Yeah.
I die a couple of times. I think, you know what? I could get better. I could maybe improve to the point where I could beat this boss, but I could also just go and play a different game.
Yeah, and, true.
Which is a shame, because I want to see those worlds. I know people have lots of lovely things to say about them.
Yeah.
But.
Well, hey, take this as like highest praise for Sekiro then, because if I could just put down that hard game and just go and play another game. Like, for instance, I'm not playing Dota because I'm playing Sekiro.
Right.
And I'm decent at Dota. I can win a match, I can lose a match, like, whatever. Fine.
What would you flame at more, Sekiro or Dota?
Ooh. Or, man, well, Dota, because it's online, you've obviously got your teammates, and it's not the game that makes you flame or tilt or salty or whatever kind of e-sports lingo you want to use. It's your teammates.
Yeah.
And it's not even the other team. It's your teammates. And sometimes, fucking all those teammates. Jesus Christ.
It's funny you mention teammates.
Teammates,
that,
yeah. Are you going to talk about it?
May or may not get on your nerves.
Oh, tell me more.
The
Jamie.
Only game that I've been playing that I wasn't playing by this time last week when I was on the podcast is I've dipped my toe into the Apex Legends pond.
New season?
Season 2, indeed.
Have you got the, like, little season pass thing?
Of course he has. That was the first thing he did when he turned it on.
Yeah, you got to buy the battle pass.
Oh, got to get my coins.
How much is the battle pass?
You can get enough of the currency to buy the battle pass.
Yeah, sure.
For $7.99.
Okay.
So, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not, I
got to be honest. Like, I used to love playing Apex, but I've fallen off it hard. I completely missed season 1. But then you and I were actually talking about it, and we said, "Oh, I wonder if season 2 is good." And
I don't think it's dramatically different.
Yeah.
But I've for some reason already played more of season 2than I did of season 1.
Yeah, but hold on, like pre seasons.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with the game. It's a fun
game.
No,
that's the thing. It didn't need to be dramatically different. All they needed to do was sort out the kind of the reward structure and the rate at which you leveled up through the battle pass. And I think they've done that. The battle pass is populated with better stuff, more interesting stuff. And I think I've played it for 3 nights now.
Right.
And I'm level 6 or 7 in the battle pass, where I think, and season 1, I don't think I got past level 2 or 3.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because you can still grind away at it through getting XP. But there are challenges now, daily challenges and weekly challenges that keep changing,
yeah.
You know, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get points towards the battle pass for doing them, and some of them are actually pretty easy.
Okay.
So sometimes, most days, it's easy enough just to go on and be like, oh, play one match as Bangalore, 3,000 points towards the battle pass.
Okay, easy. So win or lose.
Don't get me wrong, some of them are kind of obscure. And it's like,
yeah, sure, but I think that you need a good balance, surely, right? Like, you need those easy ones that you feel like you're progressing, and you need those ones where it's like, hey, get like 5 wins in a row.
Yeah, and it's also stuff like it gets you to use different weapons, be different characters. So I like that. I think they've done a decent job with season 2. Game seems like it's in a good spot, well balanced.
Yeah,
read the patch notes recently, and I think a lot of the changes they made in season 2 make sense. The map has also changed a little bit.
Yeah, it's got flying lizards and shit now.
Yeah, there are big monsters standing over it, and some areas have been completely... I didn't even realize until, I think, maybe 2 nights ago, but some areas have been completely changed.
Yeah, I saw like a side-by-side comparison video. You know, the thing slides across, like, that's what it used to look
like. The IGN Classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been fun. And I did go in full circle backing around to teammates... Had a little session with Steph.
Oh, the one and only Steph.
Steph is such a unique player when it comes to Apex Legends. Possibly the least communicative player on mic I've ever...
I mean, I remember this from pre-season Apex when we were all playing together. I do remember this.
This is the thing. In the heat of the moment, it might have troubled me. But now I can take a step back from it and see it from a distance. I've got to admire it.
Yeah?
Like, the bravado... The balls that this guy has.
Tell me if it's changed, because I remember we'd be all like grouped together and we're like going, okay, I've got to go to this area here, you ping it and you go there. And then we go this year, and then it's like, oh, there's some enemies there. And then we're like, okay, cool. I think we're going to, like, a fight's going to happen, guys. Like, fucking get ready. And we're like, where's Steph? And then he's like, I'm here. And he pings, and it's like fucking like 5 kilometers away. And it's like, what are you doing there?
Or you notice, you just hear a voice, I'm down. And you look at the map, you're like, he's like half the map away. It's like, well, okay. The best example I had, so I was playing with Steph, and again, second appearance on this week's podcast, Martin Ruffell from All Time Conspiracies.
Oh, shit. You know what? We got to get him on this podcast, I think.
We should. We were in a place called Bunker,
yeah,
which for anyone that doesn't know is kind of this closed off underground area that isn't distinguished. It has two doors at either end.
I think it's my favorite area in the game.
It's interesting. Yeah. I like that you can enter it from either side of the map because it's bang in the middle.
I like those little glass rooms in the middle.
Yes,
I like it.
But the doors have little windows built into them.
I know what you're going
to
say.
And so we had got to Bunker, and we'd sort of
the Bunker.
We'd locked down Bunker, both doors shut, and we kind of had it, we're in a decent spot. And we were looking out through the window in the door, so the door's closed, looking outside, and all of a sudden we notice there's a dude out there. And he's just standing there. And then he gets out a grenade and he starts to aim the grenade without throwing it. So he's in a position he's about to throw a grenade and starts crouching up and down. I thought, what is this guy doing? This is bizarre. So I call Martin and Steph over. I'm like, come and look at this. Martin comes over first, stands next to me, looking out the window. Look at this guy crouching up and down. Then Steph eventually comes over. Steph, have a look at this weird guy crouching up and down. Steph, he goes, ready? And then the second he says ready, just opens the door. And then
there's no prep or anything.
And you know the next words I hear out of his mouth?
I'm done.
There's loads of them. Yeah, no shit, that dude wasn't on his own. And so of course we got completely annihilated. And that was the end of that game.
So that was Steph's version of Leroy Jenkins.
But ready? Like I said, you might question it in the heat of the moment. But when you can take a step back, I have to admit, it makes it more interesting, if nothing else.
Okay, so that's why you admire it, because it makes it more interesting.
If you want stories to come out of your Apex sessions, then play with Steph. That's all I'll say.
All right, well, maybe I should join in with you guys then.
Hey, the door's always open, even though that game is still three players and three players only.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's
bizarre why they've done that. They should update it for.
I mean, it feels, in the game, it feels well balanced, but as soon as you have a fourth person who wants to play, you're like, huh, this feels... Like, I remember early on when loads of people wanted to play, we were taking it in turns where we would like do the PS4 as an option where you can watch other people's gameplay.
Yeah.
So we're doing it like the fourth person would sit out and watch, and we'd do all kinds of weird combinations, but there you go.
They need to do something. Like, even if they just say like, all right, here's solos, here's a three-man squad, and here's a five-man squad.
What if they do like some Fortnite-style shit and be like, right, this is...
50 versus 50.
Yeah, 50 versus 50.
That would be awesome. Yeah,
that would actually be really cool.
That would be so good.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, mad. Okay.
But yeah, Apex Legends Season 2. Still pretty good, it turns out.
Oh, hold on.
And still free to play.
Still free to play. Go play it. I just remembered something else.
Oh.
I've played another game. Can you believe it? Two games.
Yikes.
Two games in a week.
Yeah. What a segment.
I played some Dead Cells because I never jumped on it before it had that... after it had that that release, that King of the Hand...
a big update.
Free DLC or big update or whatever it was. And yeah, got all the way up to the last boss on it. And I did okay. I took him more than half health.
I can vouch for that. I was watching.
Yeah. I did not have the most decent build. It was an all-ranged build. But that was kind of the hand I was dealt. There's nothing I could do about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, man, that game is still so good.
I've got to play this game.
It's so good, Steph.
I keep looking at it.
I can't wait until we do it on stream because I'd fucking love it.
That said, watching you play did make me remember why I think I'm kind of done with it.
Yeah.
Because I'm familiar enough now with it, and I had enough weapons and unlocked, and you know, I had enough health flasks and things like that. The runs for me in Dead Cells are like 30 to 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want to do after a failed half an hour long run is do another failed half an hour long run.
Yeah, but if we do a stream, like three of us, right? And then the opportunity is there, like you could finish that game in 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, easily. Less than that if you've got
the good rolls, then but alternatively, if it's like 30-hour sessions, like, hey, you know, three people on stream, three different shots.
I guess so. I guess, hey, but that's a unique, that's a fringe case. That doesn't
yeah.
that doesn't do me any favours yeah. when I'm at home on my own, in my underwear, with Dorito dust on my chest.
Of course, because it's food and it's on
yes,
you.
Yes, yeah, always, always. Steph, you've been playing something as well, haven't you?
Yes, I've been playing... Oh, well, actually, now that you've both... you've given two examples. The main example I'm going to give that I've been playing is the Borderlands DLC Fight for Sanctuary. Yeah. Commander Lilith and the Fight for Sanctuary. Or the Battle for Sanctuary.
The DLC that's meant to bridge the gap between Borderlands 2 and Borderlands 3.
Hell yeah. Can I get a quick excitement meter from both of you on how excited you are for Borderlands 3?
Oh, yeah, I'm pumped.
Honestly, since we started playing Borderlands 2, perhaps even more so.
Yeah.
It just made me realise that I still love that genre of games.
Yeah.
I still want to collect that loot.
Hell yeah.
And I, having played it, I can tell you, I want to play it more.
Lucky dude, yeah.
yeah. So, not long to go, even to
be fair. September?
Yeah, September.
Yes. Nah. It's going to be a great third quarter.
Is it going to be cross-platform play?
Fourth quarter.
I don't believe so, no.
Oh, damn it. Well, that just means that me and Steph are going to have to play on our PC Master Race. Jonesy will join us, but you're going to be on console.
Although they do a thing with Borderlands, Borderlands 2, where you can save your character and you can then play on a different console. So you can have one character and then transfer that across, but
I'm playing on PS4. You lot can do what you want. I'm playing on PS4.
Jump on the stream here on our RTX 2080, and we'll be at home playing on our things, and we could do it that way. That'll be fun. Okay.
No. I want to play this game from the comfort of my home. I want to be able to take my trousers off. Thank you very much.
Hey, listen.
Technically, the webcam doesn't show your trousers.
For full transparency for the folks at home, we do work in an office. There are people around. I cannot take my trousers off.
Yeah,
here
but not
legally.
Many people know the door code. So the only people that I'll fear
yeah,
coming
just
in.
Lock it from the inside.
If I was sitting in my underwear.
What if I get too comfortable? Or not? I'm just going to pop up to the kitchen, make a cup of tea.
I'd love that. That would be so good.
That'd be great.
That I'm caught. Well, I was going to say red-handed, but...
Because you know what's underwear and a long pair of black socks.
Because you know what's going to happen then? Like, no one will say anything to you. You'll go back down, you'll start playing, and then I'll get an email.
HR.
And it'll be, Chris, did you... can you, like, wrangle in your dude there?
There's a picture attached. It's just me.
No, it's just the kitchen you. Counter waiting for the kettle.
Yeah, did you ever see the film Cyrus with... what's his name? Jonah Hill. And John C. Reilly. There's a great bit in that where he wakes up in the middle of the night and there's something really distressing about a person who is completely naked apart from a t-shirt, and it's Jonah Hill standing there, just a t-shirt, holding a kitchen knife. And I thought, like,
oh my god,
that's how I'm gonna get caught one day. Someone's gonna find me in just a t-shirt.
You know what you have reminded me of though? This is the end when Jonah Hill gets fucked by that demon.
Jesus, yes,
that's funny.
That's a weird film.
Very weird.
That was a very strange film. They had like an all-star cast that were just wiped out at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every single famous person you could think of in that kind of
it was also one of these
circle, that comedy Hollywood circle.
Weird people as well, like Emma Watson and Rihanna.
Yeah.
Like Emma Watson wanted the guns, didn't she? Or she wanted weapons?
No, she wanted Sentry, but then they were talking about not making it making it clear that they don't want to rape her, that like they're just glad that she's there.
That's it.
And then they overheard them saying rape, and then she's like got the guns on, it's like fuck you guys, and I'm out of here. Fucking fair enough,
right?
Great film. But yeah, I've been playing Borderlands.
You have
Borderlands 2 Battle for Sanctuary, and it's all right. It's not the best. The storyline's not the best.
Well, hey, dude, it's you know,
it's a Borderlands game.
It's a new DLC, but it's an old game.
Yeah,
like, how old is that game now?
Well, 7 years.
Yeah, like
it's still written really well.
Yeah,
like there were a few bits that saw me laugh out loud.
Yeah,
it was really really funny. But the game's about this dude I've written down here, Colonel Hector, who has taken over Sanctuary. The Crimson Raiders have had to flee, and he's instilled like a poison gas on Pandora because Dahl, the weapon manufacturer, want to turn it into a paradise, but he's put gas everywhere. So all the enemies are now infected versions of what they were.
Oh, right.
So you've got like infected bandits and infected Goliaths and infected spiders, that kind of thing.
An interesting way of kind of like adding up another level of difficulty, I guess.
Yeah. So they're pretty much exactly the same enemies, but now they've got poison attacks instead, and they like some of them puke at you and things like that. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, I haven't finished it. I'm probably an hour in, and the internet's saying it's around 2 hours worth of content, so it's not the biggest DLC. Yeah,
sure.
But it was free for a long time.
But it was free for a long time, and I did get it for free.
Regrettably, it is now no longer free if this podcast was making you interested in picking it up. I think it's like $15 now, something, $20.
Yeah. I mean, still not a lot of money because that would be a handsome collection, right?
You can play it through the handsome collection.
And I mean, like,
which hopefully you've got for free by now, because it's been on PlayStation Plus.
And everyone's had it for free at some stage. But even at its price, like, still worth getting. But anyway, yeah.
A second game I've been playing, which I wanted to just quickly touch upon, because I don't really know what's going on in the game, is something called Thimbleweed Park.
Oh, an Epic Store freebie.
Yeah, it was. I got it. I downloaded it when it was free on the Epic Store. It's been sitting in my library.
A Ron Gilbert game?
I don't know. Is he the classic adventure point?
Yeah.
Adventure
game? Yeah.
Like LucasArts.
Yes. Yeah. So you have to click open that.
Use
this on that, and you have to. It's just literally an old school point and click adventure. But the art style is so good.
Yeah.
The art style is fantastic. The story is very weird, like the Twin Peaks kind of story when it goes into that curtain area. It's like that. As two policemen that you can control differently. At the moment, one policeman's been knocked out and dragged into this underworld in the sewers by a monster, and then another policeman's up top. So you've got to switch between them to then work your way through.
That's sounding like Dev the Tentacle.
Very similar. Yeah, very similar. Do one thing when you're Hoagie, and then Laverne has to do the other thing, and then
I can't remember
what the other guy was called.
Didn't you go as one of them for Halloween?
Yeah, you
went as Hoagie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when I knew that, like, we were onto a winner with Steph being involved in our channel, because I was like, this guy's got it.
Yeah. I made a t-shirt, a custom t-shirt and everything for it with the flame skull, and it was an 8-bit image that I cut out on Photoshop to put.
I was like, this guy's got the sauce.
Yeah. Wore a wig. Itchiest thing in the world. I hate wigs.
Yeah,
try
wearing one for an entire D&D campaign.
Oh, God, yeah, I bet. Under those lights as well.
Oh, yeah.
But those are the games I've been playing this week.
Nice.
So if anyone at home listening or watching on YouTube wants to chime in, then you can find us on at All Time Gaming TV on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Do come and say hello over there, or let us know what you've been playing this past week.
Hell yeah.
But I want to talk about today the biggest news story that's probably come out this week so far is the Nintendo Switch Lite.
Yeah. Long rumoured.
Very long rumoured. Are you guys excited for it? Or do you think it's needed?
I'm more excited than I thought I would be from a purchasing perspective, but I have no rationale for that whatsoever. Fair. I don't need it. I kind of don't even want it, but at the same time, I want it.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
So you've taken the one aspect of that. I'll take the other aspect, and I'll say I do think it's necessary to release something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny, you know, like when there were all these rumors of different versions of the Switch coming out, everyone was like, oh, Switch Pro, Switch Pro, Switch Pro.
Yeah.
And I was like, guys, you're insane if you think that a company like Nintendo is going to release a Pro variant before they release a Lite variant. You're just insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because people always forget, like, Nintendo is a very kind of like kid-friendly focused company.
Yes.
Very much so. And when people were saying, oh yeah, but the Lite, blah, blah, I was like, listen, it'll be lighter, it'll be cheaper, the Joy-Cons won't come off. And guess what it is? It's lighter, it's cheaper, it's smaller, the Joy-Cons don't come off.
It almost feels to me like it's going back to their roots. They've tried the home console, and with the Switch it did very well.
Yeah.
I think they've sold 350 million units, which...
No.
Is it not that?
If it was that, it would be the best-selling console of all time by a magnitude of over 3.
35?
Is that 35? 35 million? Sounds plausible.
Then it might be 35.
I'll look it up.
I might have got that wrong. It was on The Verge. The Verge reported that, but it might be 35.
350
but anyway,
million.
It's done well.
It's just so old. And it's still doing well. That's important.
And it will only keep doing well now with this Lite variant.
It's frequently the best-selling console month on month. Obviously, PlayStation 4s and Xbox One's much older by comparison, but still.
But it almost makes me think that Nintendo are going back to their handheld roots. You know, they've dominated the handheld market.
I think but, that the,
yeah, 30, yeah, 35 million.
35 million. Sorry.
There was what,
I 350 billion.
I added one extra zero.
One extra zero can go a long way in that.
Yeah, listen, if you were a pilot and you add an extra zero, guess what? You've killed all your passengers.
Yeah.
So, you know, be careful.
Sorry, passengers.
Yeah. So, or if you're ever running a company in the future, you add an extra zero to one of your employees' salaries, for example. It makes all the difference. Yeah.
It depends who you're talking to, though. If I gave an extra zero to a salary, that would cripple me.
Yes.
But if I gave an extra zero on my profit margin to the investors, they'd love me.
Hmm. No, because that would be fraud.
Only if they found out.
They'd love
only if they found out. Wow. So found
the secret to business is just add an extra zero to your profit margins. They'll love you.
Yeah, that's how it works. But yeah, they've gone back to their roots in terms of handheld consoles.
Yeah.
Do you think they will continue down this route?
I don't think it's even fair to say they've gone back to their roots. Nintendo's roots aren't in handheld consoles. Like the Game Boy was their first one. No, well, not first one. The first, like, proper mainstream, big selling, ubiquitous handheld.
I think it's hard to pin down, right? Because then, obviously, if you talk pre home console things, they were doing lots of different things.
They're doing playing cards.
They're doing playing cards, and I think they had like a series of love hotels at one stage.
They're
like,
a little weren't they?
But no, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I feel like the handheld association with Nintendo largely came about because, after the Wii especially, when the Wii U wasn't selling, the 3DS seemed like the big push, right?
Yeah, the 3DS saved Nintendo for sure.
Yeah, and I think people underestimate.
And people forget as well that initially the 3DS was a failure.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. They had to keep iterating and working on it.
Yeah, and fucking Iwata himself had to say, all right, cool, change the price. I'm going to take a fucking price cut.
Yeah.
Which is like unheard of these days. Like, no one fucking does that because they're all greedy bastards, but there you go, you know, rest in peace Iwata, because you're one of the good ones. But but listen, you look at the Game Boy sold loads, you look at the Game Boy Advance, it sold loads, mm-hmm. You look at the DS, the DS Lite, the DS, what was the other one, DSXL, blah. They all did well. Then you look at the 3DS, did well. And then the reason why I knew, like, it made perfect sense for this Switch Lite to come out is because of the 2DS.
Yeah.
Because it was like, hey, it doesn't have a hinge, so kids aren't going to break it. And it's like, mm-hmm. It's quite obvious what they're going
to
do.
Yeah, this appeals to a lot of people. Like, I know that lots of people are saying that they're looking at this and saying, how can it still be a Switch? The Joy-Cons don't come off. There's no TV functionality whatsoever.
It plays the games. Like, but fuck off. Exactly, it plays the games.
Well, it plays most of the games.
Well, so you're not going to play, what, 1-2 Switch? Fine. You're not going to play Mario Party? Fine.
I don't have a problem with that, but you can't pretend it doesn't exist. But I was actually going to agree with you and say that it still is a console that makes a lot more sense on paper for a lot of people, especially older families. You know, the one statistic I heard that kind of convinced me that this was a good idea, of active gamers, so forget about lapsed gamers, people who got given one as a gift and stopped, of active gamers that own a 3DS, only 24% of them have bought a Switch. So they still have three quarters of the entire 3DS user base that haven't upgraded to a Switch yet.
And then
that's a lot of people.
And then if you think that they're not making 3DS games anymore, and then you think, okay, so how do we migrate all of those 3DS people who, you know, they don't necessarily want to buy a Switch? How would you entice them with a Switch Lite, a cheaper version?
Yeah.
Made for handheld. Yeah. Don't have to worry about Joy-Cons. Smaller form factor, smaller screen.
Parents don't have to worry about missing Joy-Cons and, you know, this
things
broke
being
or
snapped
that broke.
Off, yeah.
And this is just complete speculation right now, but do you think that it could be possible that the people that had Nintendo DSs grew up and are now on PlayStation?
I mean, I did, but I own a Switch.
But it's different because we're in gaming.
So what are you trying to say? Are you saying, like, people that were Nintendo have now migrated away from Nintendo? Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, they've migrated away because they've either grown up, they got bored of Nintendo.
You say that we're different because we're in gaming. I would be the exact same if I didn't have this job. And I think you look at other people like that we know, how many people own just a Switch? Like,
no,
I don't own just a Switch. Chris doesn't own just a Switch.
I would say Switch is like
Jonesy
a secondary console for everybody I know who has consoles.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, James is right. I don't know anyone who has been like, you know what? I'm only going to have a Switch.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I think this generation has been a bit different, right? Like, especially towards the end of it. Maybe not so much in the beginning, but I kind of feel like those battle lines don't really exist anymore. It's not like, oh, I'm a diehard Nintendo fan and I'm not going to fucking touch anything else. And I don't think it's the same like with Sony. And like, you wouldn't think it looking at the comment section on some YouTube videos, but honestly, I don't think that there's like the PlayStation camp and the Xbox camp anymore. There's gaming camp. That's the way I see it. And you got in that, you got casual gaming and hardcore gaming.
I see where you're coming from. I think that some of that talk has dissipated because the sales were so dramatically different. So many more people are PS4 players than Xbox One players that conversation just doesn't seem as loud as it did in the previous generation where the sales numbers were almost equal.
Yeah.
But certainly I think you're 100% right with Nintendo, who they don't release consoles at the same time as other people. They don't release the same kinds of consoles.
They're on their own price strategy. The same. Yeah, yeah.
And like that's, I think, led to a lot of people to say, actually, I'm just going to like and respect Nintendo games and Nintendo consoles for what they are, and they're not going to impede on how much I enjoy or interact with my other stuff, which again ties back around to the point we're just making. Everyone or most of the people that I know who have a Switch, it's just they have a Switch as well because they got a PS4. Yeah. That's what they play on their TV.
Yeah, I'd reckon the only people who would only have a Switch would probably just be kids.
And not non-gamers with kids.
Non-gamers with kids. Exactly. Like, even gamers who are maybe a bit precious about their gaming life and they don't want their kids like touching their PlayStation or whatever, they'll be like, yeah.
Have a Switch.
You know, prior to that, it was like, here's a 2DS, go fucking knock yourself out. Here's a 2DS and 5 games, go and fucking go wild.
To be honest, it's kind of even the reason that I sort of want a Switch Lite is because I'm a little bit too precious about my Switch as it is. I've got a carrying case, but I don't really like taking it around with me. It always feels a little bit too big. But there's something about this. It's not even that it's that much smaller. It's just that it's all one cohesive, solid unit.
I'll be honest.
I'm just like, do you know what? I'd throw that thing in my bag and I'd come to work. And
it does look sturdy. It looks
play
very sturdy.
Pokemon on the tube.
But I do wish it was a little bit smaller, though. It's not a Switch Mini, I get but I would have liked a Switch Mini Lite.
There's a lot of, I mean, I don't know what's going on the hardware side, and obviously they don't want it to be thicker.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of unused space on the front surface of that Switch. The bezels still feel quite big. Obviously, that screen isn't as good as it could be, but that's how they keep costs down. That's how they make a $200 console in 2019.
I guess in terms of keeping costs down, we also got to remember, so they've taken away the ability to dock it. It doesn't dock into a TV anymore. They've taken away the fact that the Joy-Cons can come on and off, so you're getting rid of that rail mechanism, which helps cut down cost and complexity and size. But they've also gotten rid of the IR sensor, which is fine because we don't use the IR sensor unless you've got like a Nintendo Labo or whatever,
which
you won't be able to use with but the one thing that I think that they maybe missed a trick on, but I definitely don't see how they could have got it to work anyway, is the HD Rumble. Because this is what worries me, right? Like, HD Rumble genuinely is an awesome piece of kit that they've got that is completely underutilized. And I feel that, like, every Nintendo generation, they always have this one thing that's, like, really fucking cool, but they never fucking use it to its capacity. And HD Rumble is this generation's one. It is so good. Like, I remember when, before the Switch even came out, they were having events around London where it's like, hey, come and try out the Switch for the first time. So I went, and they had, like, 1-2 Switch. I was like, okay, so this is bullshit because this is what should be bundled in with one of the things that they showed off there, and it sounds so completely stupid, okay, but you hold the Joy-Con in your hand, and it's like, imagine this is a matchbox, and in the matchbox it's got ball bearings. And tilt it to figure out how many ball bearings are in the matchbox. And I swear to God, it feels like if you close your eyes, you could be like, I'm holding a matchbox with... You could put, like, 7 in there. And you would be able to discern that there are 7, because if you tilt it slowly, it'll be like you'll feel 7 different entities knocking the side of the thing. It is such an amazing piece of tech, and it's not being utilized.
That sounds cool.
And now it's probably dead because it's not in the life.
Very possibly. I just don't know how else they could have utilized it, because as someone who never bought or owned the 1-2 Switch, I was just like, well, this is just a slightly weirder feeling rumble that makes a lot of noise.
I get what you're saying, but
I'm not going to miss it.
The thing is, once you're aware of what the capability is, it's like, oh my God, like
game changer.
It could have been.
But then do you think people, as Jamie said, are just expecting it to be like the rumble pack that you would get in a PlayStation or an Xbox controller, as opposed to being having that.
Yeah, but sure, but that's the job of Nintendo then, right? That's the job of Nintendo
to market,
to create these experiences within their games that utilize these things.
Yes.
If they don't do it, like they haven't been doing it,
yeah.
How is anyone going to know how fucking amazing that technology is?
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to know. Because it's not necessarily as a consumer's point of view to kind of think of what would be a good implementation within a game. It's Nintendo's job. Mm-hmm. And Nintendo are fucking amongst the most creative people in the industry.
Yeah.
But they dropped the ball on that one.
And you know what the sad thing is? If we don't make it past HD Rumble, we're never going to get to know what 4K Rumble could have been like.
Yeah.
And then 8K Rumble.
Yeah.
It's like we're going to be stuck on SD Rumble for the rest of our lives
I personally can't wait for VR Rumble.
Oh, VR. That'll be the day.
That'd be awesome. Like a whole bodysuit that you put on.
You would love that. Oh, didn't they make something so like that for, what's that flipping game? It was a PS2... It was a PS2 game. It was like a third person, like on rails rhythm kind of like shooter.
Oh, was it Vibribin?
No. It's called like Rez or something.
Oh,
like
Rez. Yeah.
They made a
peripheral.
They made a bodysuit peripheral for Rez, and you can play it in VR with this thing that like vibrates certain parts of your body. You'd love that, Steph.
That would be so good.
That'd be a great video.
Ladies were creasing everywhere.
Do you know what? I knew it was Rez, and I kept thinking Fez in my head. I was like, it's not Fez.
Oh, right.
Shut up, Jamie.
I just can't wait for the day where you're playing a game of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And then someone, or any first person shooter,
you get shot.
Someone shoots you with something like a sniper rifle, and it actually like punches you.
But Steph's how hard would you want it to be?
Yeah. Steph's going
to
come in like covered in bruises, and he's going to be like, oh... You're right. You've been in a fight. No, just playing
like
some COD.
Yeah, if it bruises,
like
it's
a punch.
Fine. I think a punch is even too
they
much.
They would never sell a consumer product that could bruise you.
If you could go there and it actually pushes you, like, if you get shot in the shoulder, that would be great.
Nah, because then someone's gonna like, I don't know, hack the suit so that you're constantly getting punched, and then someone's gonna die.
Yeah, and every time you try and take it off, it punches you, so you can't actually take
gamer,
it off.
Gamer beaten to death by gamer suit.
One question I did have with what you were talking about, umming and ahhing over buying the Switch Lite.
Mm.
Would you sell your Switch and replace it with a Switch Lite?
At this stage, I would say no.
No, I definitely wouldn't.
I could see them, and I know some people are going to think this is crazy, but I think I'd dock my regular Switch and use it more on the TV, and my Switch Lite would be this kind of far more on the go, put it in my bag, you know, get it out on the tube or when there's a spare time at work or whatever.
But we need that thing where it, through Nintendo Online or whatever it is, where it syncs between your consoles.
Yeah.
Because what you want to do is like play it on your docked Switch, switch it off, get on the tube, switch it on and it's there. Like, that's what you want.
And Nintendo have already confirmed that some games are not going to ever have cloud save support.
Because Animal Crossing?
Right, because they're worried that people are going to use it to cheat. We can't have you cheating Animal Crossing so there's no cloud saves.
Yeah, Tom Nook needs his money somehow, bitches.
So, I don't know. I think a Switch Pro would replace a Switch.
Yeah.
But the Switch Lite, for me, maybe I'm being silly, but because it lacks some of that functionality that I don't necessarily want to get rid of, I don't think it replaces the Switch.
Yeah.
It's just, I can see myself getting one with a copy of Pokemon and just that being the thing I take around with me on the go.
So here's an interesting thing about the Switch Lite that I noticed yesterday. I was watching their like reveal video and everything is really cool, you know, and they did that. All right, cool, fine. So one of the things we're saying, because the controls are attached, you can't play games that need to have like detachable Joy-Cons or whatever. But then he said you'd need to buy those separately.
Yes. Which would seem
that you can connect Joy-Cons to that device. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense. But it doesn't have a kickstand.
No, they've taken that off as well.
So you could put it flat on a table and loom over it with these connected Joy-Cons. Like it's a bit odd to me that they didn't include a kickstand. I mean, I know it sounds like really stupid for me to kind of be nitpicking on this, but it's something that would have been so small and inconsequential for them to keep.
Yeah.
And I just think like if you're watching YouTube on your thing, or if they ever bring out that Netflix app that they said they were going to do, like, and you want to watch, you don't want to. I mean, fine, you can hold it. Like, people hold their phones all the time. Phones don't have kickstands, but the kickstand is useful. Like, if you want to watch something on that screen, put it down. If you want to connect...
Do you know why they haven't included it?
Yeah.
Because it was shit?
No.
Because it wasn't shit.
It was. It broke off all the time.
Why did it break off?
Because I have bend it too hard?
No.
Because I broke my...
No, yeah, I broke it. Because it's designed to break off.
Yeah, because you put it back on.
Put it straight back in. And that, and why? Because it's a kid-centric...
It's a pretty flimsy case stand.
It's a kid-centric company. It could have been wider, but I think the actual...
That's what she said.
Well, But the actual mechanism itself, I think, is sound. Anyway, why do you think they don't have it?
Because they want to sell accessories.
Yeah, maybe.
You want to buy your Joy-Cons?
If they sell a separate kickstand for the Switch, like that would be scum.
Definitely will.
But this is
you know they will.
Oh, that's like Apple levels of douchebaggery. This will cost you $1,000?
To be fair, this is the company that sold little plastic like golf heads and tennis racket heads to go on the end of Wiimotes for Wii Sports. Yeah. So what do you think? You're just waving a wand around. What do you need that shit for?
But immersion.
My biggest disappointment with the Switch as a whole, you talk about like selling peripherals and everything. My biggest disappointment with it was when the design of the Switch came out before it got released, then everyone was speculating on like, oh, what could you do with it and this, that, the other.
Yeah.
One of the things that I theorized and was a big kind of champion for was, hey, take off those Joy-Cons and you can switch on different shaped Joy-Cons. Like, I really thought that they'd come out with like, hey, here's a GameCube Joy-Con variant.
Yeah.
Where it would be like a different shape and maybe a little bit more ergonomical. Fine, it's bigger, but that's your choice because you bought that and you're not slotted in. Or like, if you're talking about an FPS game, maybe it would be a controller designed in such a way that it feels more natural in your hand as like a gun or something like that. You know, you look at that little... that little handheld console that's coming out, that like...
Oh, the one with the crank.
Yeah, like, you could have like a little fucking crank thing attached to it. That would be cool.
That looks like the biggest waste of money ever.
Well, that, sure. I mean,
it's quite expensive, but it looks cool.
It's an interesting concept, very interesting. But my point stands. Like, there is an opportunity there. And they kind of dabbled with it with this like, oh, if you get Nintendo Online, you get these NES controllers that lock in.
Mm-hmm.
But like, fucking talk about poor implementation. It doesn't even fit in properly. But then...
Yeah.
It's just like it's a missed opportunity. Like they could have done such cool shit with that.
Well, third parties have started doing something similar, not to that extent of the GameCube or different types of controllers, but they've certainly now got like a bigger, chunkier Joy-Cons that you can attach to there. So
third party hands,
they are coming.
It'd be interesting to see now that they've got two SKUs how they support each one individually and whether there are still accessories that come out that just work on the... I don't know.
I don't think it's going to be as big a deal as you think. Like, if you think about 2DS and 3DS, and you think about even 3DS and new 3DS, right, which this is not the case in terms of that, all right, because there were games on new 3DS that you couldn't play on the 3DS, but I don't think it's as big a deal as...
I think that about the kickstand. Like... Like I get that there's an argument to be made that if a Netflix app ever does come to the Switch, it might be nice to prop it up. But I think because the Joy-Cons are attached, the only way you'd ever be able to use it if you propped up with a kickstand is if you had separate Joy-Cons or a Pro Controller. So we're talking about a console that we acknowledge is, you know, for families and people on this handheld thing. The idea of them having a second controller, propping it up, syncing another controller... And then, I don't know, I can't say that.
No, I get what you're saying. I just
keep the kids quiet on a plane. Give them two controllers and a propped up Nintendo Switch.
There's an argument there.
But then the argument is, but then you just spend the $80 more and you just buy a normal Switch.
Yeah, or just one child policy. Never have, just don't have two kids.
I mean, that's kind of where I'm aiming at the moment.
I bet. Now it seems like a good place to stop.
Just think you're going to have to buy two Switches, two Switch Lights.
I can't wait until like 5 years.
Well, you're going to have to buy two of them anyway, one for you and one for...
I can't wait until Chris is on this podcast in 5 years' time and the third one's on the...
Oh, Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, Jones is already on number two. That dude's going to have like 5 kids in the future.
Mental. Well, as we've only got a little bit of time left, about 10 minutes or so, I've got a couple of questions.
Oh, yeah, so you remembered this time.
I remembered.
It's been a little while.
Didn't ask. Went back to previous comments.
Wow.
I've got questions that haven't been asked before. But before we get into that, if you want to chime in on anything that we've spoken about in terms of the Nintendo Switch Lite, then again, you can find us over at All Time Gaming TV on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. But the first question that I've got is from Derpatron, who regularly attends our streams. How can you guys run a channel together, yet constantly fight when playing video games?
I think that's really the reason.
Is you let out all your anger.
You get it all out through the gaming.
Like, there's no pent-up rage. Like, I don't, like, go home and punch my pillow in frustration because I'm like, Jamie did this or Steph did that. No, like,
bullshit. You've absolutely strangled your pillow and imagined it's me.
I mean, I used
to, that thing yeah, out. Like,
I used to have a dog.
Wow. Okay.
No, I'm joking.
Dog.
Saying that, I'm going to go back to my experience with Overcooked 2.
Yeah, I mean,
that was probably one of the first times I was on camera playing a game yeah, with Jamie and Roche. And I was quite new to the channel at the time. I've been here nearly a year.
Is this
going to
make me feel bad?
No, it won't make you feel bad.
But this is great, though, because there was no warning.
No, there was no warning. It was very unexpected.
The warning was the first Overcooked video.
Yeah, you should have done your research.
should have watched. But no, I was playing Overcooked and I thought, oh, yeah, we're going to have a really nice time. And then I'm just getting hurled this abuse from across the sofa. I was just like, oh my God, is this guy hates me. Like, I'm not fitting in on this channel very well at all.
Do you really think that?
Yeah, a part of you.
That does make me feel bad. A part of
you
does.
No, don't feel bad at all because it's an act, you know. I know now that it's all an act. When you get on camera.
You didn't know then.
Oh, yeah.
He went home.
Yes, it's a...
Yeah, that night he went home.
It's an act.
That night he went home and instead of punching his pillow, he cried into his pillow.
I cried and
I don't think I fit in, mum.
I wrote a first draft resignation. No, I'm joking.
if
you could have seen Jamie's face on camera, then he was looking the wrong way.
Like,
no, don't feel bad at all. It was an experience that I wasn't prepared for, you know.
But then you come off as such an easygoing guy as well.
Yeah.
So like, I think maybe I just went into the deep end too quickly. But we've definitely had other people.
Like we said, there was no
like, yeah,
no warning.
There have been other people that have come through these doors that if I'd filmed a video with them when they were a month or two in, I would not have been like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of...
Yeah, you settled into team
you settled
very
in quick.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Like I said, ever since
take it as a compliment is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Ever since that hoagie shirt and I was like, this guy's got the sauce. I will say this though, right? Like, one thing that we always try to achieve with this channel, and it's one of like our core tenets, if you'd like. I mean, not officially, but...
Ten Commandments.
Yeah, one of the Ten Commandments of ATG, you know. Hallelujah, is that we really wanted the channel to feel like you are hanging out with your friends.
Yes.
When you are sat on a couch with your friends, are you fucking polite to them?
No.
Do you berate them for every stupid little thing they do in a game?
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah. And
we want the audience to kind of feel included in that. So we'll berate some of the audience as well.
Yeah.
No, but not really, like... There's a difference between, like, hey, jumping on stream or watching a Let's Play of someone on their own,
yeah,
where they're going through this story or they're going through this experience and they're kind of talking to you about it and they're trying to be funny about it. Sometimes they succeed, sometimes they don't. I don't say we succeed all the time. We'll probably fail more than we are actually funny.
yeah, probably.
You know. But the point stands that we really wanted to kind of feel that, like, hey, you're just chilling with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You as a watcher, sure, but you are chilling with your friends when you sit down and you watch an ATG video. Like, that's the feeling that we try and kind of put across.
Yeah. Mm.
And when we have to be serious behind the scenes, we can be.
Yeah.
Because it's not just like a hobby or a YouTube channel we do for fun. It's our jobs.
Yeah.
And if you don't take it seriously, then shit goes pear-shaped.
Yeah. This channel pays the bills. And if you want to continue paying the bills, got to focus on kind of what you're doing behind the scenes. Yeah. So it's not all goofing around, although even behind the scenes it's a lot of goofing around.
But we can
talks about dicks and stuff.
I drew a dick on Steph's notebook in the middle of a meeting yesterday.
And you were caught. That was quality.
Yeah, it's good.
I just saw the eyes drift over to your hands. You were like this.
Is that what I think it is?
Busted.
Anyway,
it's like the teacher catching you at school drawing dicks and
So anyway, yeah,
that's what I get.
Der Patron, I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last question we've got is from Rampaging Noob.
Ooh,
if you guys were guaranteed to triple your annual income for the next 3 years, what would you do with the funds?
Oh.
you have no idea how low my annual income already is. That's the difference.
Yeah, like tripling it. Won't get you far. But hey. But you know what would be good?
I'd pay off a few more bills. And,
you know what would be good? Is... Oh, Jamie would just buy a Switch Lite.
Yeah, Switch Lite. That would be the
first. You know what would be really nice? ATG from the beach.
Oh.
Beach Hut, yes. Beach Hut Gaming,
Which beach would we go to, though?
Well, in Greece. I'll take you guys to my hometown.
Ah, okay.
And, we'll have a good time.
We'll have some Greek delicacies.
Well...
What will we play, though? The Sims Island Living.
Yeah, well, we could play whatever we want. What I would do is I would construct a hut on a beach All right, with like instead of chairs, you have like these like lounges that are like these like beds, you know, like sun beds, right? And yeah. little canopies, and there'll be like lots of food, lots of drinks, lots of booze.
Yeah, Chris, we're tripling our annual income.
Yeah. All right, sorry, we're going to go down to Cornwall.
You've won the Euro Millions here.
Yeah.
I mean, like, how awesome would that be, though? And then like the whole channel takes place from there. We could do like 24-hour live streams from the beach.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey from the beaches of Greece.
Hell yeah, that would be cool.
That would be good.
But okay, realistically, what would we do? I mean, we would hire more people so that we could create some of the kind of pet projects that we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, like, we've got all these grand ideas. We've only got limited amount of resource in order to do them.
Yeah.
Six lists take a long time. And unfortunately, or fortunately, however way you want to look at it, six lists are our bread and butter, right? So we need to keep doing them because everything else we do doesn't do that well in terms of views or revenue earned.
Mm-hmm.
So if revenue...
So that's a cue to go watch our other content.
Hell yes. And to join our Patreon and to buy our merch. But the point is, if there was no need to chase the revenue, then we could start doing things that we are more interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a fair amount. Like, we've all got these ideas of what we want to do, and it would be a lot less serious.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I think we'll leave it at that.
Hell yeah.
That was quite a deep answer. I don't really know how to follow that.
Good note to end on.
From the beaches of Lindos to, to...
The job centre.
To the job centre. Here we go. See you next time.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for listening to us or watching on YouTube, if you are on YouTube, to the All Time Gaming Podcast. I reiterate again, if you go down to the description of YouTube, you can find a link to our Patreon where you can pledge for $1 a month and come chat to us on Discord.
Discord, baby.
And there's also a link to our merch down there as well.
Hell yeah.
We've got t-shirts, hoodies and jumpers. Where's our merch?
It's coming. Get yourself some threads.
It's coming.
Get yourself some threads. Send it to us on Instagram at All Time Gaming TV.
Yeah.
And we'll like and we'll share. And I'll tell you what, we'll even follow. So,
and we'll even post it as well. We'll repost it to our followers. So yes, please do that. Again, you can find us at All Time Gaming TV, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you very much, guys, for joining
hosting, Steph.
I hope it's been a decent one talking about the Switch Lite.
Always good.
It's been an amazing time.
Can I, because you haven't said it yet, can I just say...
Yeah, chime in.
Don't forget to give this podcast a 5-star rating.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting that.
Oh, yeah.
I keep forgetting that. 5-star rating if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, as it helps out a lot.
5 steps out of Steph. For the next time that you collate some of these questions and stuff, could you get, like, people's reviews?
Yes.
On Apple Podcast. iTunes.
Leave a review, 5-star review, and we'll
read it out in the next few
I've never podcasts. Heard that tactic before.
Hell yeah.
If you write a review, we'll read it out.
Hell yeah. Nothing rude, and it must be 5 stars, otherwise...
it must be 5 stars. Well, that, funny enough, I've stolen that from another podcast, and that's exactly what they say.
Right.
Last question I've got for you guys before shutting
up. I thought we were done.
I know, I thought we were as well, but I've got
We've
one
done all
question.
The sign-offs.
Oh, my God. Well, this is a bonus. This is a bonus. End credits.
What colour Switch Lite would you get?
Ooh.
I'd get the special edition Pokemon one.
Yeah, it looks nice, and it's the same price.
It's the same price.
But I do like the look of the turquoise one as well.
Yeah, I'm going turquoise.
Yeah.
All right.
And with that, we are signing off. Bye.
See ya.